Yes, Yarra Valley FM 99.1 Community Connections, and today I have the Mayor of the Yarra Rangers Council in the studio, Councillor Tony Stevenson. And lots been happening in the months since you were in here last, Tony.
Oh, absolutely. Great to be back, Greg, and good to be here to have my musical genres stretched. You always challenge me, take me places I haven't been before, which is fantastic. A lot happening. I guess one of the things that I'm excited about that's coming up is something we call Not the Archies.
So yeah, which is wonderful.
Wonderful, yes. And it's really, it's very inclusive. It's a community art endeavour where everyone can be an artist. So I think one of the challenges is that we go through school. I know I started off drawing houses with windows in very funny places, well above the door, in about in prep, and I probably got a little bit better in year one and year two.
Yep.
But that's probably where my artistic endeavours stopped. And that happens, I think, to many people, because the inner critic in us creeps out and says we're no good at this. But I think we need to get back on the horse, as it were, and have another go. And this is a perfect opportunity. And there's no judgment. Everyone gets to have a go. Everyone is welcome, and I think it's fantastic to see what can unfold. So it's run to commemorate a certain major national portrait art show, to be unnamed on this show, returning to Tarawarra Museum of Art, and that's going to be very exciting. So what we're doing is we're asking any budding Yarra Rangers artists to pick up the paintbrush or pencils or whatever artistic medium they want to use and create a portrait of someone in the community they admire.
Yeah.
So registration's opening quite soon. Well, they're open now. They're open for the 12th of August, the 23rd of September. So have a think about it. A fairly modest fee to get involved, but everyone gets a uniform canvas they can work on to create that portrait. So you can paint, you can draw, it could be a collage, it could be weaved, or it could be sketched. And your subject can be anyone who you think is great, who lives, works, studies, or play in the Yarra Rangers, even yourself. Now, I don't know. Hopefully nobody picks on me because I have the perfect head for radio, but I'm not sure I'm good for portraits. So, anyway, great prizes. I think it'll be fun to participate. I'll have a go myself.
Oh,
and,
great.
All we do is ask that people go to the NotTheArchies.com to learn more and register.
Yeah, it's a great system too where all the canvases are supplied, because that takes a lot of stress out. Yeah, you wonder what size should it be, how much extra cost is this going to be. So canvases are supplied when you register, and everybody has the same sort of format then to work on, the same base, but then you add your own artistic interpretation to the portraits you're doing, and that makes the show.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fantastic to see everyone's efforts on display during October and November throughout shops and galleries in Healesville and Yarra Glen.
Yeah. Great stuff. Not the Archies. Get involved on there on the website. Yeah, it's 1:15. Councillor Tony Stevenson, the Mayor of the Yarra Rangers Council, in the studio. And we're going to talk sport now.
That's right, we're trying to look after everyone. So we talked art a moment ago. And sporting, look, there's been a lot of things happening around the Yarra Rangers recently. We've seen a surge in interest with female participation in both football and cricket, and there's obviously netball's always been very strong.
Yeah.
But what it's doing is it is exposing a weakness in all the infrastructure we offer for sport. We've got a lot of pavilions. I think the list is something like over 32, 33 pavilions right across Yarra Ranges, the 2,500 square kilometres, 55 townships, so you'd expect there's quite a few pavilions. And something must have happened 40 or 50 years ago, because an awful lot of them were built back then. And they're starting to show their age as buildings, and probably they're starting to reflect a change in society. So what was built back then, 40, 50 years ago, often by the community, using a lot of local efforts, volunteers, was probably perfect for the time. But the times have moved on. We're now seeing record interest from females, girls and women joining in sport, whether it's cricket, football, netball, unfortunately the buildings don't cater for that.
Yeah.
So that's an issue. And the world has moved on. We fortunately now embrace everyone. People of all abilities should have access to these facilities. So whether you're in a wheelchair or whether you're on crutches because you've done your ACL, you need to be able to get in and out of buildings, need to be able to be welcomed as part of the entire sporting community. And these older buildings don't reflect that. So progressively, council has been going around rebuilding the pavilions to modern standards to provide all gender access, all abilities access, and bring them up to current community standards. They're each quite expensive to do, so we can't just magic wand do them all overnight. And we've progressively been working through them and probably trying to do about one, perhaps two a year, depending on how we can line up funding, because in order to do them, we need to get funding support from state government, federal government, councils focused on delivering the money, but we need local community support as well.
Yeah.
The most recent one that we've managed to complete is the Monbok Community Sporting Pavilion, which was opened on the 17th of August, a couple of Saturdays ago. And I think it was so welcomed by the community. The buildings there didn't look too bad.
Yep.
There was a veneer. So at some point, someone had put some new brickwork on, so it didn't look too bad. But if you went inside, it was far from welcoming. And it's the sort of thing that, much as we want females to participate in these sports and be welcomed, it just was not welcoming.
Yeah.
But it was something that the men had got used to over the decades, and they didn't realise how squalid the conditions were and how inferior they are to current standards. So all been rebuilt, and the old social realms, the log cabin and the white ants that were riddling it, is all gone as well. And I know that was a sad moment for some people, but they're very happy that they now have such a good facility that's going to support the community for the next 50 plus years.
Yeah.
So it's a long list we're working on. We've got some more in the pipeline. Currently, Wandon is into town planning. So council's just like everyone else. We have to get through the planning process, and it has to meet all the building regulations and planning regulations. So that's going through that process. When it comes out the other end, that will go to tender.
Yeah.
And we hope to get under construction very soon. There's some others. Probably one now that springs to mind is the Mount Evelyn one, because it's received funding from the federal government and council, and the club's getting right up to speed. So we're just going to the state government now, saying this is being developed. They've got a very large level of female participation there.
Yeah.
Can we find a way of supporting this community and these clubs to have new facilities as well? But
and it is very dependent on funds from the other levels of government, because people's rates don't even scratch the surface of this sort of thing.
No. I mean, once they're done, the good news is that the maintenance drops enormously, because they're new buildings and they're built to a higher standard today. So the ongoing costs can actually drop. They're more energy efficient, which is good. But you're right, the capital cost of funding them in the first place is critical. And that's why I'd like to quickly thank the State Government's Growing Suburbs Fund, Sport and Recreation Victoria, the Federal Government and the Monbok Clubs for contributing to that project and getting that one completely funded.
Yeah, once again, good community at work. You got to work with your local council. You can't just leave it all to them. So lots of volunteer efforts by the varying sporting groups, all the mums and dads getting in there and adding their support to these things. Help make it happen.
Yeah, I think a good reflection of that is in Monbok. As we know, it's really at the heart of a very big nursery and floriculture area. In fact, about a third of all nursery and flower production in Victoria comes out of that Monbok, Sylvan,
beautiful red soil,
Wandon East area. And so what happened early on was there were growers who were very keen to see this happen, and they were donating plants, and the clubs were running plant sales. So not only have the businesses donated these plants, everyone who bought the plants has helped contribute to this project getting off the ground. So congratulations to everyone working together as a community to make it happen.
25 past one on this Monday afternoon. This is Community Connections Show with Greg Carrick and Councillor Tony Stevenson. The Mayor is in the studio, and we've been talking art, we've been talking sport and facility upgrades, and now we're going to talk about food.
Food, yes. Well, been enjoying the music. Next minute you'll tell me there's the Paul McCartney was a band before Wings. The all the things I'm learning. Yes, I'd like to. Yes, speaking of food, some of us have just enjoyed lunch. Some of it delivered by the wonderful people in the Meals on Wheels program. So, really, I'd like to, on behalf of council and the community, I'd like to say a quick thank you to the more than 100 people across Yarra Ranges who volunteer their time every week for Meals on Wheels. And the reason I do that, we should thank them every week, of course, but this week, National Meals on Wheels Day is coming up on Wednesday. So it's a great chance
this
to really celebrate that. This Wednesday. So not only is it a great program for delivering food to people who might otherwise not have meals readily available to them, or might find difficulty preparing food for themselves because they're elderly, or they might be they might have a disability. It really helps them live independently. But it's the food is one value that's delivered. It's enormous value to them. But it's also the sense that someone's coming to see them, checking on them, and just continuing that social connection. Because I think, as we're all seeing, that even with all the modern technology we have and the sense we have that we're more connected, actually, the reality is that I think we're losing a bit of that human touch, and people aren't quite as connected as they once were. So when the volunteers drop by and deliver these meals, and they did deliver 31,500 meals last year, so it's quite an effort from those 100 volunteers. But they deliver the food, they check in on the person who's receiving the food, they build the relationships, and they help reduce that isolation. And if they find things aren't perhaps as well as they could be, they can provide advice, or they can connect people with services who can. So really, I do want to take my hat off to all these wonderful people who are making such a difference in so many people's lives. Thank you.
Yeah, and nowadays too, with you think, oh, how simple it is to, say, prepare meals for lots of people, but all these different dietary requirements, and you know, people don't, their bodies reject this sort of food or that sort of food, and must be quite an undertaking to sort of organise all that so that everybody gets fed properly.
Yeah, I think it is about respecting individuals and their particular needs and finding an answer for them. I was out with volunteers this time last year enjoying meeting many residents we look after through the Meals on Wheels, and without getting too much into it, I did come across one lady who unfortunately is constrained to a house because she needs an oxygen tank to happily live onwards, and she's very happy. She's very happy to see the people from Meals on Wheels. And in this day and age, she can get a lot of things delivered. She can do a shopping online. And she can get all that delivered to a door, but there's nothing like actually having someone come and spend a bit of time with you, have them bring a meal that, that you don't have to worry about preparing. You know it's fresh, it's nutritious, and it's going to be there for probably, it's not just one meal, it could be several meals that are delivered. And it's one less thing for people to be concerned about. And as a community, we can feel that we're looking after some of the most vulnerable people who really do need that care.
Fantastic stuff. Great work, all those volunteers.
Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
26 minutes to 2 on this Community Connection show on this Monday afternoon. And Councillor Tony Stevenson, the Mayor of the Shire of Yarra Ranges, in the studio. And we're going to talk about trees and greenery and planting and all sorts of green sort of thumb stuff.
Well, we're covering everything, aren't we? Art, sport, food, now trees, the planted environment. Yeah, very exciting to say that we're running our very first ever Growing Together Tree Planting Day at Lilydale Lake on the 15th of September, Sunday, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And the aim of it is really to invite young families with new additions, so young children, to come down, meet new friends, learn about services close to home, and join with their family and other families to plant some new trees. So great opportunity. We could certainly do with some more greenery, but a great chance to make those connections, because it is very hard. I reflect back 21 years ago when I first became a parent. There's a lot you don't know. And it's really hard. I don't know about you, Greg, but mine didn't come with instruction manuals.
Nah.
So,
although being a girl, she just tells me everything.
Tells it. Okay, right. Yeah, I do get a bit of that. Well, it doesn't matter of gender. That they get to an age when they're teenagers, they know it all. And
yep,
we know nothing. But we do our best as parents. So I think it's great to make those connections, meet up with other parents, and just be able to connect your children going forward, or have some new friends. And you'll always be able to come back to the park and say, we planted that tree, and take great pride in watching it grow, just as your children grow over the years to come.
So there'll also be information booths on the different services?
Yeah, absolutely. So certainly one of the many services the council runs, over the 120 services we deliver, relate to child healthcare services, so whether it's immunisation or information for new parents and their children. Those things will be available. access to understand where there are playgroups nearby,
mm-hmm.
and the other facilities are available, whether delivered by local, state, or federal government, or community groups.
Yeah.
But just being able to understand what's available for you, because collectively we're all there to support young families, but it's important for people to avail themselves of that information and to understand what's going on. So it's a good place to go. Jump on the council website and just do a search on Growing Together. You'll find the search box dead centre on the page.
Yep.
And I'm sure you'll find Growing Together quite easily.
So it's yarrarangers.vic.gov.au.
That's the one. And while I'm at it, I probably just encourage people just go and have a good look at the website, because over the weekend, brand new website launched. A new one, yeah. Well, a new version of the website. But we took a lot of feedback from the community that said, look, what's there is good, but sometimes it's hard to find.
Yeah.
And it's hard to find things in my local area. So it's interesting you offer these services, but what are the things around me? So you'll see it's taking a different take on things. You can put in your address on the homepage and it will show you where, who your councillor is, your local waste collections, but it'll also show nearby services, whether that's playgrounds or off-lead dog parks or any of the other facilities available in the community right around you. So it's taking a completely different approach to say, this website should be about you and the services available to you. And have a good look across the top. The menus you'll find, I think, are a lot more appealing. So we are, for example, highlighting business there, because we have over 11,000 local businesses employing many people.
Yep.
And it's good to demonstrate the way in which we support them and continue supporting local employment through that. So,
The drop-down menu is broken up into sections: community, environment, business development, activities, council, and contact. And along the bottom, as soon as you open the website, you can click on things to find out about waste, planning, burning off, forms, reporting an issue, or making payments. So, and of course, the search function. So it looks pretty good.
Mm. And it's still open to feedback. I think over the last couple of weeks, the team have been out with the community and they've been running workshops seeking feedback on how do we make this exactly the best it can be for the community.
Yep.
Where would people want to find things or expect to see things? And so the design has actually followed that whole process to say this is about, it's not about council, it's actually about the community and how council can support the community. So let's make sure that the website makes it easy for you to connect with and work with the community and with council.
Very well done. I've seen numerous versions of the council website over the last couple of decades. This one looks like it's pretty well sorted.
There's a real science behind it. I've spent 30 years in IT. Obviously, websites haven't been around for all that time, but I remember building the very first website that I was involved in back in 1995, and we were excited we could make the background not be grey. We figured out how to make it white. And we could make things flash. But things have come a long way since then, and I know just how much work the team have put into this. It's an enormous effort to make it work. Having spent a long time with software over the years, it's this sort of this reverse law that the easier you make it for the person using the website or the software, the harder it is to actually build the thing and have the software engineers and the developers. It's much more work for them, but it's the right thing to do, because it's actually about the people using the website. It's not about the engineers.
The council not only builds physical infrastructure around the place, but this is a huge bit of infrastructure as software that people use 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So this has to be well-sorted, robust, and easy to use.
I completely depend on myself. When people ask me questions, I'll go to the website to get those answers. Yep. I can't possibly remember everything. But I'm really happy with how it's progressed, the quality of the search.
Hmm.
I suspect there might be a week or two where things aren't quite indexed, and you might have to work a bit harder to find a few things. But that all settles itself down. But on the website, it's quite prominent. If you think there are things that don't make sense, or you've got some better ideas, there's perfect opportunity there to provide feedback. And I know the team are very keen to hear about how this can be made to work even better for the community.
Okay. Well, I did get a bit sidetracked by the the new website there. But the tree planting day coming up, especially for young families with young kids, get along to that.
15th of September. Yeah,
Lilydale Lake. So 10 a.m. starts. And it's called Da Two on this Community Connections show, and having a chat about all sorts of things that the Shire is doing with the Mayor, Councillor Tony Stevenson. We've talked about art with the Not the Archies coming up, talked about the opening of the Monbok Community Sport Venue, talked about Meals on Wheels and the Tree Planting Day coming up September the 15th at 10 a.m. at the Lilydale Lake. And now we're going to move to Yarra Glen.
Yes, well, a word you might not have heard before, Yarra Glenergy, actually, which is a local group focused on moving Yarra Glen to being more sustainable in its power use.
Yeah.
And they've been funded by the sale of the former Yarra Glen Maternal and Child Health Building in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So some of that money has gone through a people's panel. So a selection of citizens from Yarra Glen were gathered together to decide, how do we best use this money? It's community money. What's the best use of it? First time that's ever been run in Yarra Ranges, and it was a very good process, from what I understand. And the determination was two things. One is some river circuits around the Yarra River there for the benefit of everyone. The other was to invest in some local energy sources. So instead of having to bring in energy from outside, and a lot of it's coal-fired still, generate energy locally and find ways to make Yarra Glen more sustainable. So they've been doing a great job. They've been looking around with the support of council to say, where would their first project be? What would be a very good use for putting solar panels out?
Mm.
And what they chose to do was to put them on the Yarra Glen preschool roof.
Yeah.
And the reason to choose that is the preschool's really open during the daylight hours, doesn't operate at night. And of course, when the sun's out, that's when solar energy works, and it's going to be operating most effectively to offset their costs of electricity, but also reduce their own carbon footprint.
Mm.
So those were installed just recently, and already the preschool is noticing quite a change in their power bills and very happy with how that's gone along.
Yeah.
So it's a good example of what can be done to try and match people's energy use with how it's generated. We'd always encourage people to think about how they can first reduce their energy, because there's a concept called negawatts. So if you're going to eliminate the need to use electricity or gas at all, that's the best approach. But then if you can produce the energy locally, that's got to be far better than having to produce it somewhere else and bring it on transmission lines and the like. So it has gone along quite well. If we look around that area, and this is what I do in my spare time, look at spreadsheets late at night.
Just for fun.
Yeah, well, I was just a bit intrigued, as happens, and I discovered the Clean Energy Regulator, which is a federal government body that monitors all the solar panels going in around the country and pays for some of the rebates that support those, provides data by postcode. Mm. So I got busy crunching numbers late at night, and I discovered that 28.9% of the households in Yarra Glen and surrounds already have solar panels.
Okay.
Which is pretty impressive, because right across Yarra Ranges, it's 19.3%. So almost one in five already have solar panels at home. Mm. Probably we're sitting about where the state is on average, but clearly Yarra Glen is punching well above its weight there. Mm. And I had a little look further afield, and they've slightly been surpassed by Yarra Junction and surrounds, sitting at about 32.7%.
Okay.
So they take the prize at this point. And I would think the areas, and I don't want to name names, are probably in the hills, are lagging a little bit. And that's probably due to a little bit of historical misunderstanding, or perhaps how things used to be, where solar panels obviously work best when the sun is on them. And historically, if one of those panels was shaded, so you had a tree nearby that shaded them, it actually stopped the whole set of panels not working.
But they were the early solar panels.
But things have changed. There's a couple of ways. There's things called optimizers or microinverters, where a panel can be configured, or a set of panels can be configured, so that only the shaded panel stops producing.
Mm.
Meanwhile, the rest of the panels keep functioning.
Yeah.
So for those people who are concerned about wanting to be more independent in their energy production and producing clean energy at home, even if they're in a more shaded spot, they can now do it with solar panels using those optimizers or the microinverters, which are commonly available. So I'd encourage people who might have previously not looked at it to have a think again and take advantage of the current low prices for solar panels and the subsidies both at a state and a federal level. They're encouraging people to bring on board more solar production.
I might have to have another look at it myself. I know we haven't got solar panels on our roof because it's in the shade most of the time. We've got so many trees around us.
Yeah, it's true. Not everyone will be able to have that opportunity. I guess if you're concerned about where your electricity is coming from, and if you can't generate it yourself, look at ways in which you can choose electricity that might be being purchased by someone who's generating their own through wind or solar. And that way you can say you're contributing towards us slowly shifting away from generating so many greenhouse gases through electricity production. I think it's about a third of Victoria's greenhouse gas production comes from three big coal-fired power plants. And while we can't shut those down overnight, we can't operate these days without electricity, inevitably they will have to be phased out.
Yeah,
and
old age itself will do that.
That's right, and there'll have to be a transition, and I'm sure the state government is working through how to do that along with the private owners of those power plants. That's out of our hands. That's not what we can deal with as individuals. That's not what we can deal with as council. But we can look to see our own energy consumption and what we can do about it. So as I said, firstly, reduce it. Produce your own if you can. If you've got a roof that isn't shaded, and if you can afford that, maybe you're renting and it's not your roof, it's your landlord's roof. So perhaps you could talk to them. But if failing all else, you could look to see where your energy is coming from and whether the person providing it is providing energy from renewable sources or is offsetting to achieve that. You might find yourself paying a little bit more for that, but that's your decision. You may choose to say, well, I'm going to spend a little bit more because it's now sending a very clear signal to the operators that they need to get more renewable power created so that we can all have a cleaner, better future.
All right. Well, thank you again, Councillor Tony Stevenson, for coming in as the Mayor and talking about all the different things that are happening around the Shire, some of them through the Shire Council itself, some of them through community groups. And don't forget Not the Archies. Log on to NotTheArchies.com, register, you'll be able to get your canvas then and enter that great little competition.
And thanks, Greg, for stretching my musical tastes once again.